Begin the current daf, Masechta Shabbos, daf Nun Ches. Begin on the top line of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues discussing one of the items where we said that Bamea Isha, what is a woman not allowed to go with on Shabbos? So one of the items was Kovel. So on the previous daf, we had a pshat that Kovel is reference to this woolen caps that the women wear, and that is forbidden for a woman to wear out, and definitely it's also for the other interpretation of what Kovel is, which is regarding the emblems that the slaves wear. Now the Gemara brings an Amora that argues on this statement of Rebbe Vo, which was brought on the previous stuff. And rather, as the Gemara says, Shmuel Amar Shmuel says, Kavl da'avda tanan, that when it says that a kavl is us to go out with on Shabbos, it only refers to the slave's emblem, which is that they used to have an emblem on their garments or on their hanging from their body, which is showing that they're a slave, that they're a servant to someone else. And however, it does not include the case of a kippas tzemer, which is a woolen cap, that although that's also called kavl, however, that's not included in the yisur, is only in reference to a slave's emblem. And that is his interpretation of kavl, is that it's kavl de'avda, and that he argues under Bevo on the previous daf. But now the Gemara asks, on this statement of Shmuel, that he says that the item that we're saying that's forbidden to go out with on Shabbos of kavl is talking about the emblem of the slave, u'miyam b'shmuel hachik, did Shmuel really say this? Shmuel said that a slave is allowed to go out with the emblem that's around his neck. And that is what we're talking about. That's kavla de'avda. These are the emblems that the slaves wear. And they would make it out of clay. So a slave is allowed to go out with that on Shabbos, Shmuel says. However, he can't go out with the emblem that's attached to his garments of clothing. So Shmuel himself said a slave is allowed to go out with emblems on Shabbos that's around his neck. So why does he say that a slave, the case of the Mishnah of a kavl that you're not allowed to go out with on Shabbos, is the emblem when he says a slave is allowed to go out with the emblem on Shabbos? And Taisa explains why it wouldn't be applicable to say that it's the emblem on our garment of clothing that it's attached. That's what the case of the Mishnah was talking about. It sounds like it's even in reference to the emblem that would be attached to his neck. And the question is, how could Shmuel say, on one hand, that a slave is allowed to go out with the emblem on Shabbos, whereas he's explaining the case of the Mishnah of Kavl, that the emblem slave would be forbidden to go out with on Shabbos, is a contradiction. Another Gemara says, Loi Kasha. Had the Ovid Li Rabbi, the case where we said, that's the case of that Shmuel said that a slave is allowed to go out with the emblem on Shabbos, that it's mutter, that was talking about when his master makes it for him. And that is, he has a certain awe and fear of his master that he's not going to take it off his neck and to go and carry it in Rosh Hashanah, because his master is going to say, hey, you're not wearing this emblem I made for you to show that you're my slave. That's mutter to go out on Shabbos because he's not going to carry it. He's not going to take it off his neck. The case where we said, which is what Shmuel is explaining in our Mishnah, that they're not allowed to go out with a kavl on Shabbos, that's talking about when they made it for themselves to show who they are, which part of this high monarchy or whatever it is that they're part of. That type of emblem would be asur, because then they might come to take it off and carry it on Shabbos. So now the Gemara asks, "B'mayu kimtel hadash Shmuel." So how did we establish this statement of Shmuel that he said that when he said it's mutter that a slave could go out with this chaysim shabbat savoy, go out with this emblem around his neck on Shabbos? That we're talking about the other rabbi. He's talking about a case where his master had made it for him, and that is, as we said, a certain awe and fear of his master. He's not going to come to take it off, and that's why you're allowed to wear it on Shabbos. If that's the case, if that's what the statement of Shmuel was talking about when his master makes of him, so b'chaysim shebechsuse ma'aloi. So why did Shmuel differentiate that he said the slave could go out with this emblem that's around his neck, but he can't go out with the emblem that's attached to his clothing? Why not? Why is it any different? He's not going to come to take it off his garment because, again, he's afraid of his master. He says, hey, I made it for you to show that you're my slave. Why aren't you wearing it? So therefore, he won't come to carry it by taking it off. So why can't you wear that on Shabbos? So the Gemara is correct, but there's a different reason why it's a problem. Dilma mifsik, because maybe it's going to come detached. The emblem might break and fall off. Umirtas, and he's going to be afraid from his master, that he shouldn't say, hey, you took it off, to show people in the street that you're a free man. And therefore, Mikafale is going to go ahead and fold up his cloak that it was attached to. He's not going to want to wear this garment because he's going to see it without the emblem on it. Umochis le'akasve, and he's going to place it over his shoulder. And that is, he's going to go ahead and fold up this talus that was on him on his shoulder. And that's also, that's a problem. As the Gemara says, because Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, the Amr Yitzchak bar Yosef Amr Yechanan, hayoytze betalus mekupeles. Umenachas like a sefer b'Shabbos, whoever goes ahead and takes out a folded talus and places it on his shoulder on Shabbos, he's chayev chatas, he's liable for karpon chatas. And that is, this person, this slave, he doesn't want people to see that this jacket that he was wearing, that where the emblem is supposed to be, and people won't know that it fell off. So therefore, he's going to go ahead and that people shouldn't realize, he'll just take it and fold it up and put it on his shoulder, where you can't recognize that the emblem is not there because it's folded up. And now when it's on his shoulder, that's called a masa, that's a burden. And as we brought down from Yitzchak by Yosef, that you'd be chayav a chatzis, because that's not an adornment. It's only when you're wearing it the way it's supposed to be worn. A talis, for example, could be worn on Shabbos. It's not considered hitzah. It's not transporting something on Shabbos. However, if you fold it up and then you just put it on your shoulder, which is what this slave is doing because he doesn't want people to realize that the emblem's not there anymore, then your chayav a chatzis is carrying the talis. It's not wearing it anymore. It's carrying it. And therefore, since we're concerned that the emblem on the garment, although it's attached to it and he won't come to take it off, just like he won't take off the one that he's wearing around his neck, but it might break and it's going to fall off and he might come to carry it. He's going to fold up his garment to carry his garment that people shouldn't realize, and therefore he's going to be carrying four amas and the shosh rama Shabbos. That's why he said you're not going to go out with it on Shabbos at all in the first place, because it might break and then he might come to carry your garment. Gemara brings a story related to this. As Shmuel told to Rav Chinna bar Shila, all the Rabbanim that are related to the Resh Galusa, they're not allowed to go out with on Shabbos with cloaks that have the emblems on it. And that is, the Resh Galusa, who is the head of all the Jewish people, he would make emblems for the garments, for the cloaks of the Rabbanon, almost like slaves, to show that they're subservient to the Resh Galusa, they're from his academy. They're not allowed to go out with that on Shabbos, because if it breaks, they're going to be afraid. They might come to fold up their cloaks that people shouldn't realize that it's off, because what are you doing? You're walking around without the emblem. You're trying to show you're not subservient, and therefore they might come to carry it by folding it and putting it on their shoulder. However, Shmuel told Rav Chinna bar Shila, "Lebar minach, except for you, because they're not so makbet on you, not so meticulous with you, the household of the Resh Galusa, that if you go out without an emblem, and therefore even if you'll walk out with this cloak with an emblem, if it's going to break and fall off, you're not going to come to fold up your jacket, because you're not going to be afraid, because they don't care even if you're not wearing one at all. So therefore, you're the only one that's allowed to go out with that. But the others, since it might break and they might be afraid, so therefore, I don't let them go out with it at all on Shabbos, because they might come to carry their cloaks, their sarvali, and put it on their shoulder and be over on the Isra Beitzah on Shabbos." So now the Gemara quotes the statement of Shmuel that we mentioned before regarding this covel that the Eved's master had made for him, Gufa. Amar Shmuel said that what was the case that Shmuel said that it's mutter for Eved to go out with a covel on Shabbos, the one that his master had made for him. He said, Yoytzeh Eved b'chisim shebitzavar, that a slave is allowed to go out with the emblem that's around his neck. And that is, these emblems were made out of clay. And he's not going to be makbid about it to carry it. And that is because even if you say that he's afraid, because now he's not wearing it around his neck, what's going to happen? This that he's afraid of his master, he's not going to carry it anyway, because carrying it doesn't show that he's subservient to his master, only when it's around his neck or on his garment. So even this emblem that's around his neck, if it breaks, he's not going to carry it anyway, because what are you showing by carrying it? So therefore, there's no problem about going out with this emblem around your neck. However, the slave that the master had made this emblem for him that's on his garment, that he's not allowed to go out with such a garment on Shabbos, as we said, because that he'll be afraid, because he's wearing the garment. Where's that emblem I made for you? Might come to fold it up and put it on his shoulder. There's a concern. But again, the one around the neck, even if it breaks, he's not going to carry it anyway, because he's not showing anything by carrying it, because what does that show? It's only when it's around your neck, and it's not going to be around his neck anyway. So the Gemara says, Tanya Mahach is similar in the Braisa to this differentiation that Shmuel made. Yoytzeh Eved b'chesim shebitzavar, a slave is allowed to go out with the emblem around his neck, because, again, he's not going to take it off, and even if it breaks, he's not going to come to pick it up. Avoloi b'chesim shebichsus, however, now with the emblem that's around his garment. So the Gemara asks, Reminum, it seems to be a contradiction. We learned in the Braisa explicitly not like that. We learned, Lo yetzeh ha'eved b'chesim shebitzavar, a slave is not allowed to go out with the emblem around his neck, which, as when we're going to end this braisa, it seems to directly contradict. It says the slave is not allowed to go out with the emblem around his neck, which Shmuel and the first braisa said, you are. So then the braisa continues, "Beloy b'chesim shebichsusay," and now with the emblem on his garment of clothing, as we said, because he's afraid he might come to carry the talis by folding it up, that people shouldn't recognize the emblem is not there anymore. And then the braisa says, "Zeh v'zeh imek ha'metumma." Both these emblems, the one that's around his neck and the one that's attached to his garment, both of them are not mekabel tumah, because they're not made for an adornment, that it should be mekabel tumah because of a tachshit, because it's jewelry, which is mekabel tumah. And although it's made out of metal, as the Gemara later will explain by when it answers the stira of the two brises, that this one is talking about made out of metal, however, since it's not made for noy, it's not an adornment for him, rather it's an embarrassment, it's showing that he's a slave, and it's also not a kli tashmish, it's not a utensil that's usable, that's so to speak like a cup or something that's used by a person. So therefore it's not mekabel tumah, there's no kli aspect of it, and therefore, since it's not an adornment also, it's not mekabel tumah. So the braisa continues, V'loy bezug shebetzavar, and the slave is not allowed to go out with the bell that's around his neck, which is made for an adornment. It's a tachshit for the eved to, so to speak, it beautifies him by going out with this bell. So he's not allowed to go out with that on Shabbos. But he's allowed to go out with the bell that's attached to his garment. And the Gemara later will explain what's the difference between the bell around his neck that he's not allowed to go out with. However, he's allowed to go out with the bell around his garment. However, the Braisa says, both these types of bells, the one around his neck and the one attached to his garment, although there's a difference regarding Shabbos, they're both mekabel tumah. As we said, because it's a tachshit, it's an adornment, this bell. And therefore, a tachshit is considered intrinsic to the body, and that's where it's not considered carrying on Shabbos. Then the Braisa continues, "V'loy teitzah behema," and an animal is not allowed to go out with on Shabbos. "Loy b'chesem shebetzavara," not with an emblem that shows who's the master of that animal that's around its neck. "V'loy b'chesem shebeksusa," and not with the emblem that's on its garment. And that is, they would make for the horses some type of a me'ilah, outer garment that they shouldn't get dirty. So that garment could have the emblem of whose household it's part of. The animals are not allowed to go out with the emblem, again, that's either around its neck or on its garment. V'loy b'zug shebeksusa, and now with the bell that's on its garment. V'loy b'zug shebetzavara, and now with the bell that's around its neck. And that says the Gemara in Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis says the problem with a bell of an animal going out with is that it seems like it's going to the marketplace for it to be sold, because that's how they used to dress it up with the bells. And therefore, it seems like a Maris sign as if you're going to sell on Shabbos, which is Asa. So therefore, the animal can't go out with the bells. And then it says, Zeh v'zeh in mekal b'tumah. However, both bells, the bell that's attached to the garment of the animal or around its neck, either one, it's not mekabel tumah, because again, it's not an adornment for the animal. Rather, it's almost denigrating to the animal. It's when it's being sold that it's dressed up like that. So therefore, there's no tachshitin. We don't say an animal has tachshitin like we say for a human being. And therefore, it's not mekabel tumah. So the question is, ultimately, the first thing the Braisa said was in direct contradiction to the first Braisa and to Shmuel that said a slave is not allowed to go out with an emblem that's around his neck. And Shmuel and the Braisa said that the slave is allowed to go out with an emblem around his neck, just not the one that's attached to the garment. So how do we understand this contradiction? So the Gemara says, Lema, should we say that Hod Oved Le Rabbi? Maybe that the statement of Shmuel and the first Braisa were talking about that emblem that we said that he's allowed to go out with around his neck is because it's talking about one that his master made for him. And as we said, that he's going to be afraid to take it off. And if it breaks, he's not going to carry it anyway. So there it's mutter. Ha-David ilo navshe, but maybe the second Braisa said it's usher for him to go out with, even the one around his neck, is the one that he made for himself. And that maybe he's going to take off because he'll show people the emblem that he made because he's not afraid. His master didn't make it. He made it for himself. Maybe that's how we resolve the contradiction. So the Gemara says, Loi. Both Braisa are talking about an emblem that his master made for him. So what's the reason of the second Braisa that says that it's Aser? The Kam Bishal Matchis, the second Braisa is talking about when the emblem is made out of metal. There it's Aser. The Kam Bishal Tit, but the statement of Shmuel and the first Braisa was talking about that the emblem was made out of clay. And the understanding is, because Rav Nachman Omer Rabbi Barvua, that he says, Davar HaMakbar Olav Rabbi is something that his master would be upset about. And that is if it gets lost. Then, Ein Yitzim, but you're not allowed to go out with that on Shabbos. That's the understanding of the Braisa that says it's us to go out with the emblem, even around the neck, because if, let's say, it breaks, he's going to carry it. Although, as we said before, that if, let's say, it falls around the neck, carrying it doesn't show that he's subservient to his master, and therefore it's not the same type of concern as we said about the garment where you're going to come to fold it up. However, here for a different reason you're going to carry it, because if it's broken, he's going to be upset about it, something that's worth money, and you're going to come to carry the broken pieces back. That you're not allowed to go out with, even if it's the one around the neck. But something that the master is not so meticulous about, if it's made out of clay, it's not worth a lot of money. Then, that you're allowed to go with, that was the case of Shmuel and the first Braisa, that they're such a emblem around the neck, you're allowed to go out with again because he's not going to come to take it off. And if it breaks, he's not going to come to pick it up, so there's no concern of carrying for Amos and the Shusser Abim. That's how we resolve the contradiction. The Braisa says that it's us, it's talking about something that's chashav, it's expensive, it's made out of metal. That type of emblem you might come to actually carry the broken pieces. Versus the one that said that the first Braisa in Shmuel says you're allowed to, it's talking about it's made out of clay. So the Gemara says, Hachanam Mestabit, it makes sense to say that the second Braisa that said that it's us to go out with the emblem around the neck, that it's talking about metal. And that is from the fact that it had to say that it's not makabel tumah. So the reason is because it's not made for an adornment. As the Gemara says, "Mitani zevazei mekabel tumah." From the fact that we said that both of these emblems, both the one around the neck and the one that's attached to the garment, are not mekabel tumah. So it only makes sense to say it if it's talking about an emblem made out of metal, as the Gemara says. If you're saying, as we were trying to say to resolve the contradiction, that the second Brice is talking about that the emblem is made out of metal, Hani hu delo mekabel tumah. It's only those, that is the emblems, that are not mekabel tumah. And that is because it's not a keli. As we said, it's not an adornment and it's not used for anything. Rather, it's almost denigrating for him that it's showing he's an emblem, that he's a slave. But the mashmoyis would be, the inference would be, but other metal keli, other metal vessels, are mekabel tumah. And that is, hakelim didhu, however, other utensils that are the same ilk, the same type, which, in other words, that are also made out of metal, they are mekabel tumah. It's only here that it's not, that's the chiddush the Braisa is saying, that's not mekabel tumah, because it's not an adornment and you're not using it as a keli. But if you're saying that the second Braisa is talking about an emblem that's also made out of clay, so the inference would be, it's only these emblems that are not mekabel tumah, because again, it's not an adornment and it's not a keli. But the inference would be, but other things that are made out of the same material, I mean out of clay, that are kelim, are mekabel tumah? How could that be? When you have a vessel that's made out of clay that was not, so to speak, burnt in the oven, in the kivshon, that should be called a kli cheresh, rather it's a kli adama, that it's made out of earth and it wasn't burnt into clay, is it mekabel tumah? But we learn not like that. V'hotanya, we learn the braisa, kli avanim, regarding stoneware, that our vessel is made out of stone, kli glolim, dungware, v'kli adama, and vessels that are made out of clay, ain mekabel tumah, it's not mekabel tumah. It's not mekabel tumah until it's called a kli cheres, when it's still called a kli adama that's made out of the actual clay. It's not, wasn't burnt and made hard. It's not mekabel tumah, not minatayra, and not even midrabanan. And therefore, if we were talking about the emblem was made out of clay, what are we saying? That here it's not because it's not an adornment. Even if it was an adornment, even if it was a clay, it's not mekabel tumah, because anything that's made out of adama, made out of clay, is not mekabel tumah. Obviously, that we're saying that the emblem was made out of metal. And that's why the Braisa said that it's aser, even when it's the chesim shebetzava, even when it's the emblem around the neck, because that would be mekabel tumah if it wasn't an adornment. And that's what the Braisa is saying, that there he might come to carry the broken pieces, because it's something that's worth money and the master would be makbid. Shmamino, that price, the second price, the reason why it said it's usr is because it's talking about metal. And that's why if it wasn't this emblem, if it was a regular kli made out of metal, it would be mekabel tumah. First, the first price, and Shmuel, they were talking about a kli, this emblem that was made out of clay, where there, the broken piece is not going to come to carry. And that's why it would be mutter for the ever to go out with it around the neck, because there's no concern that he's going to carry it for Amos and Shusarab. So now the Gemara goes back to discuss the statements that we had in the second Braisa. Amamar, we said in the second Braisa, V'loi bezug shebetzavar, that the slave is not allowed to go out with the bell that's around his neck, Abu yitzhu bezug shebeksusa, but he's allowed to go out with the bell that's attached to his garment. So what's the understanding? What would be the difference between the bell around his neck, that there it's going to be usr, versus the bell around that's attached to his garment is mutter? So the Gemara says, zug shebetzavar amayla, why can't they go out with the bell that's attached to his neck? Dilma mifsik, because maybe it's going to break. Vaslatu is going to come to carry. Again, it's something that's worth money, and his master is going to be upset if he loses it, so he might come to carry it for him as soon as Shusarabim. If that's the case, Zuk Shabik Susei Nam, regarding the bell attached to his garment, also Lechish Dilma Mifsik Vaslatu, you should be concerned that maybe it's going to break and he's going to carry it for him as soon as Shusarabim. That the Gemara says, Hachamayaskin, he was talking about regarding the bell that's attached to his garment, that it's sewn on. And that is, that it's sewn onto his garment, and therefore we're not concerned that it's going to become detached. Anything that's woven, we never made a decree. And that is, we never made a decree for having a person go out with it on Shabbos. And since here it's woven onto his garment, we're not concerned. And that is the statement of Rav Huna that we mentioned earlier, is that he said regarding anything that's woven also includes such a type of a statement. That is, not only, as we had mentioned, Rav Huna on the previous statement, that only regarding chatzitza, where we said that when something's woven, it's not a chatzitza because water could get into the hairs that the strands are attached, are tied around, because since they're woven, it's not so tight. And therefore, we're not concerned for the woman to go out, even if she'll have a tefillah shemitzah, that she'll have to loosen it. And there we said such a general statement that something that's sewn, we didn't make a gzera of going out with on Shabbos, it includes even this statement that we're not concerned that it's going to get detached, the bell, and fall off, because since it's woven, we didn't make a gzera of going out with. So it's an interesting statement that encompasses two different types of halachas, one regarding chatzitza and one regarding falling off, but something that's woven, we didn't make a decree for going out, although they have different applications. Therefore here, since it's woven onto the garment, we said we didn't decree and you're allowed to go with it on Shabbos. That's why the bell on the garment is muta, but around his neck is us. Gemara continues to explain the second price. Amamar. We said, lo yseitze behem, an animal is not allowed to go out on Shabbos, lo b'chaisim shebet savara, now with the emblem around its neck, v'lo b'chaisim shebet susa, now with the emblem that's on its garment, v'lo b'zug shebet savara, now with the bell around its neck, v'lo b'zug shebet susa, now with the bell around its garment, and ze v'ze makabel tuma, both of them are not makabel tuma. So now the Gemara asks on that last statement, v'zug de behem e makabel tuma, is it really true that the bell of an animal is not makabel tuma? V'rimin will ask a contradiction from a different brisa. It says, zug shel behema, regarding the bell of an animal, tame, that it is makabel tuma. That's the statement we're going to come back to, and we're going to show that ultimately this first statement contradicts. It says the bell of an animal is makabel tuma. We'll continue on to Amid Beis. Shel delas, in the bell of a door, that's tahara, it's not makabel tuma. And that is, we have the door is attached to the house, which is attached to the ground. And that's not a kli to be makabel tuma. The ground's not makabel tuma. So therefore, the bell that's made for the door is batel to the door again, which is batel to the house, which is batel to the ground. As the Gemara said in the previous parak, that kol amachubala, whatever's attached to something, harehu kamoy, it's the same thing. So therefore, the bell of the door is going to be tar. It's not going to be makabel tuma because it's considered like the ground. So the Braisa continues, shel delas v'asa lebehema. However, if you have the bell of a door, which then was transferred and used for an animal, then to me, then it is makabel tuma. That is, from here on, although we didn't do any action to change this bell, rather we just thought about it. In other words, we wanted to use it. We went and we hung it on the animal, and hanging is not really an action to undo and change the bell. But the idea is that every vessel is susceptible to tuma with thought. In other words, when I decide that, let's say I have just a strip of leather, which wasn't made into a garment yet, but I decide I'm going to use this as a mat for people to use. So now it's right away, or as a, let's say, something for a table to be used as a tablecloth. So now with my thought process, I, so to speak, designate it as a utensil, it will become a utensil. So here also, since this bell from the door, though it wasn't makabel tuma up until now, because it was attached to the door, which attached to the house, which attached to the ground. However, once I go ahead and I hang it on the animal's neck, although I didn't change it at all, it shouldn't be makabel tuma yet. But since my thought process is now it's a kli, now it's being used for the animal, so therefore from here on it will be makabel tuma. However, in the reverse, shel behemah v'asal delas, it was a bell for an animal, and then it was transferred to use for the doorbell, then af pi shechibul delas, even though it was attached to the door, the cover b'masmorim was nailed in with nails, tamei, it will still be makabel tuma. And that is, even from here on, it will still be makabel tuma, and that is, although, and that's the idea, as we mentioned before, because attaching it is not an action until you change it from the way it originally was. As the Braisa concludes, because all vessels become, they go down, they become susceptible and vulnerable to tuma with thought alone. When I designated it with my thought, I want this to be a tablecloth, I want this to be a bell. And therefore we said, by the case of the doorbell that was then used for an animal, just by the thought process of saying I'm using it for an animal, it becomes susceptible. However, in oilim de tumas, but it does not become elevated, does not come out from the halachas of tumah, and that is from the Torah of tumah that was it was already once susceptible to, even though it wasn't even didn't become tumah ever yet. And however, now I'm changing my mind. It's not excluded from being makabel tumah. Eil b'shina ma'isa, only with an action that changes it, and that is, it needs to be changed actively to, so to speak, say, oh, now it won't be makabel tuma anymore. Since it was a makabel tuma because it was a bell for an animal, although I'm using it for a doorbell, it will still be makabel tuma until I actually change it and do something to change the actual bell. Am I just, so to speak, knocking into the door? It doesn't change it, and therefore it's still makabel tuma. However, the main idea is from the first statement, as we said, that we saw that the bell of an animal is makabel tuma. So how could we say that zev is ein makabel tuma, the bell of the animal, both of the neck and the garment, is not makabel tuma? Here we see from this price that a bell of an animal is makabel tuma. So the Gemara says, loy kasha, it's not a contradiction. It depends what type of bell. Ha, de isle inbel. The case of the second brayse that said that a bell of an animal is makabel tuma, that's tomat, that there's a clapper. That's the clapper inside the bell that makes the noise when it bangs back and forth. Ha, de lesle inbel. Our brayse that said that it's not makabel tuma is tomat, a bell that has no clapper. Under which the Gemara is manavshach. Either way, it's difficult to understand what's the difference if it has a clapper or not. Imanahu, if the bell is a utensil, that is, it's considered an adornment for the animal, and that's why it's a kli. So Afa Pidales Leimbal, even if it doesn't have a clapper, it should still be Mekabel Tumah. And Ilavman, who, if the bell itself is not an adornment, it's not a takshin, it's not considered a vessel in its own right. So Inbal Mashvi Limana, so the clapper suddenly makes it into a garment, into a keli. How could that be? How does the clapper make it into an adornment, into something that's a takshin? So Gemara says, in, yes, it's true, the clapper does make it into a keli, but not as we had assumed, that because now it's a takshit, it's an adornment for the animal, rather because it's actually a kli, it's a vessel in its own right. From where do we know that regarding a metal utensil, if it produces sound, that it becomes tamei, that the actual idea that it's producing sound will make it into a kli? Like it says a pasuk in Bamidbar Lamed Aleph, which is talking about metal vessels, which was the story of Midian when they had taken the spoils of Midian, which a lot of halachas regarding kelim and its tumah are learned out from there. So it says in the pasuk called Davar Hashayava Be'esh Tavir Be'esh, which is talking about hagala. It's talking about different ways of purifying the tumah that's in an item. It says that every item that has been passed, that has been used in fire, the way you retire it is that you pass it through fire. That's called hagala when you go ahead and you kashrut. But the drush is, when you use the word called davar, afila dibur yavabesh, that even something that produces sound has to be put through fire. That is because it's a keli that could be makabel tumah, again, because it's used as a musical instrument. And therefore, that's why the brisa that said that the bell of an animal is makabel tumah, someone that has the clapper, now it makes noise, therefore it's a keli. The brisa that said that it's not makabel tumah, someone that there is no clapper, so therefore it's not a keli because of making noise. And the bell in itself is not a takshit for the animal, and therefore it's not makabel tumah, not because of takshit, and not because of a keli. So now the Gemara discusses this. But my kimta, how did we interpret this brisa, our first brisa that said that the bell of an animal is tar, but the lesley imbal when there's no clapper? But emim tzias, let's see the middle case of the brisa, which is talking about the bell of a person, of the slave. It said regarding the slave, he's not allowed to go out, but loy bezug shebet savari, now with the bell around his neck, avol yoytzu bezug shebet ksusib, he's allowed to go out with the bell around on that's on his garment. As we said, we didn't make a decree on anything that's woven to be able to go out with on Shabbos. However, he said bezev ezem akamatoma, both bells, both the one around his neck and the one attached to his garment, are makabel tumah. So the question is, Ida Lesley Imbal, if you're saying the bells that were talking about in that brisa, as we said regarding the animals, talking about that there's no clapper, mi makabel tumah, is such a bell that you're saying regarding a person makabel tumah, that you're saying regarding the person that is makabel tumah? Very minimal, that's the contradiction that seems to say even the bell of a person is not makabel tumah if there's no clapper. And you're saying that the brisa is talking about bells that have no clapper, so how can we say regarding a person that is makabel tumah? As we learn in the brisa, ha'oisa zagin lamachteshes, someone that makes bells for the mortar, and that is they would grind spices with this mortar, and that was they would grind the spices so that they can make it for the incense to burn it up for the good smell, as it says in Masechtas Krisis that koil, noise, is good for besamim. And therefore, they would have these bells. When they would be grinding it, it makes the chemical productivity of the grinding makes it smell better. So therefore, these bells that they made for the mortar, velarisam, for the cradle, that is the cradle where the child sleeps inside of it, they would hang bells to bang around so that the child should hear the noise and be able to lulled into sleep. Vilmatpoch esvarim, and for the coverings of the svarim, that is when they would carry the svarim that they had into the shul, into the Beis HaKnesses, where there their children, the Tanaika Shabbos Rabbim, would be learning over there. And it would make noise, the bells would make noise when they brought the sefer into the shul. And the children would hear from their recess break and they would come to run. They knew it's time to come to learn because the sefer is coming in. Ulamat Pacha is Tanaika, and for the coverings of the children, that is what they hang from the neck. It's a type of a bib. So all these types of bells that it's made for these different types of cases. Yeshlem Inbul Tmein. If it has the clapper inside the bell, then it's makabel tumah, because then it serves the purpose that it's for. Elam inbul taharin. If there's no clapper, then it's tahar, which we're going to see is where we're going to ask from, that it says explicitly that the bell that's used for a person, that if there's no clapper, it's going to be tahar. However, the brisa concludes, nitlu inbulein adayin tumas nalein. If the clapper, as long as if at one point had a clapper, even if the clapper was taken away, there's still going to be the halachas of tumah applying to it. That is, if let's say it was taken away after it was tummy ready, the tummy still stays on it because it's not considered a keli shenishba, that a keli that has that became tameh once, for it to be, so to speak, excluded from tumah, that it should be tahar when it's regarding to be broken, it has to actually be broken. And then it's going to be batal, it's going to be annulled from considered a vessel at all to be totally tahar from its tumah. Just taking out the clapper doesn't make it not a keli anymore. So therefore, if it already once became tameh, it's going to continue being tameh even after the clapper is taken out. But the question is, we said regarding these bells of children, that if there's no clapper, then it's tahar. So how can we say in our braisa it's talking about a case of when there's no clapper, and that's why the case of the animal. Although we said the case of an animal that has a bell, if there's a clapper, it's tamei. But if there's no clapper, it's not going to be tamei. And that's how we're saying the braisa on Amud Aleph was talking about. But then we said a different case regarding the bells of a person is it is mekabel tamei, and we're obviously talking about the same type of bells when there's no clapper. But yet we have from this braisa that we see that even regarding human bells, if there's no clapper, it's tahar. Nothing more says no. It depends. Hanamili betinik. This price that we're bringing now that says if there's no clapper, it's going to be tar. That's talking about a child. Because those bells for the children, they're made for making noise. And therefore, if it doesn't have a clapper, it's not going to make noise. So therefore, it doesn't serve purpose, so we don't consider it a keli. And therefore, it's not makabel tama. Avogadol, but regarding an adult, which is the case we're talking about in the Amud Aleph, that's our braisa there, tachshid hu lei, avogavta lesli inbol, it's considered an adornment for the slave to wear a bell, even if there is no clapper. And therefore, it is makabel tumah if it's made for an adult, because that's a tachshit, that's considered an adornment, and therefore, we said, although the animal is not makabel tumah if there's no clapper, however, regarding the adult of the slave that he's not allowed to go, that talking about regarding halachas of tumah, that it is makabel tumah, zev is a makabel tumah, because although there's no clapper, it's still an adornment for him. And that's different than the case of a child, which is only made for the noise. So now the Gemara continues discussing what we said. Amamar. Nitlu in Belehen, we just mentioned in this last braisa that if the bell was taken out from, if the clapper was taken out of the bell of the children, adayin tumas nalein, the tumah is still applicable. That is, once it became tameh, although the we said without a clapper it would not be makabel tumah, but once it was already makabel the tumah, it's not considered like a broken utensil by just taking out the clapper, and it's still going to be tameh until you totally demolish the keli, that it will be oilim tumas. But the Atikamar asks, Lamai Chazu, for what is the bell of the children still fit for use without the clapper? And therefore that should be considered in the category of what's called Shina Maisa, of totally changing the object, that as we mentioned on the top of the Yomah, that it's Oilum Tumasa, it's going to be excluded from Tumah, it's almost Metarid, because it's not what it originally was. And therefore, why is it still Tumah if the clapper was taken away? And the Atikamar says, Amar Abaya, Hoyil Shahed Yidyoch Lachzir, since even a layman could return the clapper to the bell. So therefore, since you don't need a professional, it's not considered a total, complete maisa that was a shina maisa, because since you could put it right back in, it's almost like it's still what originally was. You didn't, like, so to speak, destroy the keli, and that's why it's still tameh, although it's not useful anymore, but since you could put it right back in, it's still considered useful. And this chiddush of Abaya, that he said that although it's not attached anymore, but since it's very easily attached, we still view it as a keli, although, so to speak, the two parts, the bell and the clapper, which is what makes it a keli, should be metarid once it's taken off. But he says, since it's very easy to put it back, we still view it as a keli. The makabel tumah on that, Masa Rava, Rava asked from Mishnah in Parah, that seems to say, not like that, that if they're detached, although it's very easily to put it back in, it wouldn't be makabel tumah anymore. As it says in the Mishnah in Parah, Hazug vahi in bel chibur, says that the bell and the clapper are considered attached. That is, when they're together, they're viewed as one keli. If one part, if the, let's say the bell becomes tummy, so then the clapper becomes tummy. If you spray the, let's say the clapper regarding hazah to be matarid, then the bell and the clapper, they both become tar. So since we're calling it in the Mishnah part that they're attached, so from there you hear that when they're separated, it's like a keli that part of it was taken away. And that's even in spite of the fact that a layman could put it back together. As long as not put it back, it's not considered whole. So Rava asks, how can you say that since you could put it back, it's still considered keli? We see over here that the bell and the clapper are considered attached. That is, it's one, like one piece. So therefore, when one's taken away, it's missing an integral part of it. So therefore, it should not be makabel tumah anymore. On that, he says, v'chitema hachikam, and if you're going to say that this is what the Mishnah Par is saying, that when it says that it's a chibur, is that afagav de loy mechaber kemand de chaber dami? Maybe you're going to say that when it says that it's attached, it's saying even a bigger chiddush, like almost like what Abaye is saying, that even if it's not attached, it's as if it's attached. That is, even when they're separate, we call it attached, and it's coming to say almost the chiddush of Abaye, exactly what he's saying, that even when they're detached from when they became tameh, it's not going to be elevated from its tameh, exactly as Abaye wanted to say, so that we say that they're always viewed as attached. But by the time we learn the Braisa, not like that. We learn the Braisa Masparishal Parakim. Regarding a scissor that's made out of separate pieces, that is, the two blades could be separated. The izemel sharehitni, and the plane of a carpenter, which is one of the tools that a carpenter uses, that he puts this plane in between two pieces of wood that's made for it. And after that it's used for what he needed, he takes it out and he conceals this plane that he needs. So there's different items that are attached and used. For example, the different blades of the scissor or this plane of the carpenter, which are made out of two distinct entities. So we say that these items are chibur l'tama. They're considered attached for the halachas of tumah. That is, if one blade becomes tameh, the other blade becomes tameh. And regarding the plane of the carpenter, if that becomes tameh, then the other pieces that are attached to it are also mekabel tumah. Ve'in chibur l'azab, but they're not considered attached for spraying. That is, when you want to be metahar them, although it touches one blade, it won't be good for the other blade. On that, the Gemara asks, Ramin Manam Shech, and we said regarding this braisa, either way, it's difficult to understand this. Ichi buhu, if let's say the two blades of the scissors are considered attached, so then afil hazah nami, so then even regarding spraying, they should be considered attached. That is, when you spray one blade, it should be considered the whole item got sprayed. You don't have to get every part of the item, you have to spray on the keli. So therefore, there's considered one item, it's attached. So therefore, even for hazah, to purify it, it should be considered attached. V'iloichi buhu, and if you're saying that they're not considered attached, they're two separate blades. So that afil tamay nami, then even regarding tamay, it also shouldn't be considered attached. And therefore, if one blade became tamay, it should not say that the other blade got touched by the sheretz or whatever it is in tamay also. So therefore, we had that question. The Amar Rabbi, and Rabbi said to resolve that braisa, he said as follows: Dvat Torah regarding the halacha from the biblical standpoint, minat Torah b'shas malocha chibur. Only when you're using the scissor or the carpenter's plane do we view the two items attached, because that's only the time when you really need attached, and then you take it apart. And that is bein l'tuma bein l'azah. That would apply both for it to be mekabel tuma and both for it to be purified when you're having hazah. When it's not being used, when it's not in use, it's just laying somewhere, then it's not really attached. Not for it to be mekabel tuma, and not for it to be sprayed. And that is, since when it's not being used, you don't need it to be attached. So we view it as two separate kalim, and it's not attached, even when it is attached. Because obviously when we're talking about shaloi b'shas malacha, that when it's not being used, just as it's comparing it to b'shas malacha, and that is just like when it's being used, it's obviously attached. Obviously we're talking about that when it's attached, even when it's attached, if it's not being used, really min ha-Torah, it's not mekabel tuma, and the hazah won't work for one blade to the other. However, so what's the understanding of the braisa that says that regarding tuma it is attached always, and regarding hazah it's never considered attached? But gazra tuma shaloi b'shas malacha, we decreed regarding the halachas of tuma, even when it's not being used, that we'll view it as it's attached. Mishum tuma shi b'shas malacha, because we're concerned about the case of tuma when it is being used, where there in halachic, it really is considered attached because it's being used. And we went l'churma gezerah regarding it to be purified. V'alazah shi b'shas malacha, regarding the spraying at a time when it is being used, that we decreed that it should not be viewed as if it's attached, even though really min ha-Torah it is considered attached. Mishum hazah shalei b'shas malacha, because we're concerned that you might come when you're spraying it at a time when it's not being used, where there in truth it's not really considered attached, it's only considered attached when it's being used. So therefore, that's the understanding of the braisa, that we would gezer l'chumra on tumah, that it should always be considered attached, and regarding hazah, that we consider it should not be attached always. And that's why it says that it's chibur l'tumah l'olam, it's always considered a chibur for tumah, however, and it's never considered a chibur for hazah. However, the question is that Rav is posing on Abai is that we see from this braisa that when do we consider it attached, at least min ha-Torah, not regarding this gezer that Rabbanah had made, only when it's actually attached. However, if it's taken away, then it's not considered attached. So therefore, regarding the clapper, if the clapper is taken out of the bell, we should consider this bell as if a keli shenitl miktsase, that is, if it's taken away. Because we see that when it's not being used even, that we view it as two separate entities. And that is, it's not mekabel tuma. So definitely when it's taken apart, it's not mekabel tuma. So how could Abaye say that if it's so easily to be put back, that's why we consider it as if it's mekabel tuma? How it still retains its old vestige of a keli? It's not true. We see even when it's not even being used that we view it as two separate, and then they're not attached for the halachas of tuma, that it's not a keli anymore, one entity. So therefore, the question that Rav is posing in Abaye, so how could he say that that's the case that it's talking about, that the bell, it's so easy to put back. That's why even when it has no clapper, it's going to still be mekabel tuma, although it's only used, so to speak, when it has for the children, when it makes noise, when it has the clapper and the bell. But it's still viewed when it's not true. And we see that it's not going to be mekabel tuma. If the bell was taken away, we're going to view it as not as a keli that was, so to speak, broken up, as we see that it has to be actually attached for it to be considered mechubar. On that, the Gemara says, Elam Rava, rather, Rava gives a different pshat. Why, if the clap was taken away, is it still Mekabel Tumah? Now we continue on the top of Nuntasim and Aleph. Hayil Baro Lakish Al Gabi Cheres. Since this bell of the children is still fit to strike it on the earthenware pot, and that is, it's still going to make noise as it originally was. Again, the purpose of this bell of the children, it's only used, and it only has use for the making of noise. So therefore, it's not bottle from the original malacha, which it originally was, for making noise, because you can still make noise, but you can bang it on a pot. It's similar to the halacha of a keli, a vessel, that had a hole in it, but smaller than the size of a pomegranate. As we learned that it's not tar from its tumah, because it's still fit for its original malacha to hold things. Although you had originally used it for, let's say, something of a liquid, which now it's not fit anymore. But since I can still use it as a keli, because it's still smaller than the size of a pomegranate, we say that it still fits somewhat for its malacha, and therefore it's still tumah. So therefore, here we're talking about, since it still fits somewhat for the purpose of making noise, although it's not going to make noise as a general bell is with the clapper inside, since you can still make noise, it's still ro'u for the original malacha, and therefore it's still going to be mekabel tum. It menami, similarly we learned, Amar Yisrael Berchanina, hoyil v'ro'u lakisha kabachere, since still fit to bang it on the earthenware pot, so therefore it's still the original kli, although it lost the clapper, you can still make noise with it, so it's still the original kli. And now when we conclude the sugya of the different bells, we had so many different cases, all the cases are resolved right now. Because we had the bell of the animal, that we said that it's tahar without the clapper, as the original Mishnah had said, because it's not a keli without the clapper. However, with the clapper, it is tummy, as we explained in the second brisa, that the clapper makes it into a keli, because again, it makes noise. Regarding an adult person, we said regarding the slave, even without a clapper, we said that it's mekabel tumah, because it's a tachshit, it's in the dormant for him, and you don't need a clapper. And that's what it says in the first brisa, that it's mekabel tumah. Regarding the bells of the children that are made for noise, that we said it's not going to be mekabel tumah without the clapper. As we said over there, that if there's no clapper, it's going to be tar because it's only made for noise. And that is if there was never the clapper even originally, because then that means it was never nigmar malach, it was never completed, because it's only a bell when it has a clapper. However, as we said, but if the clapper was taken away, whether before tumah or whether after tumah, then there would be mekabel tumah, because then it was never fully broken as the shear, because at least once it was a keli, because it had the clapper and it made noise. Even if the clapper is taken away, you can still go ahead and bang it on the pot, so it's still fit for its original malacha, so it's still going to be mekabel tumah, even though it's made just for kol, not like the adult, which is a tachshit. It's still going to be mekabel tumah, because it still makes a kol, at least, not, although not the original way, but you can still bang it on the earthenware pot, so it's still going to be mekabel tumah.